start a new series called, could be Kingdom or Thy Kingdom Come, but it's about kingdom. I would imagine that this series will go at least 2 weeks, probably three. That probably means six. Because things in my world tend to expand. It blossoms. So Thy Kingdom Come. Right? There's nothing better than the church does that answers questions that nobody is asking. We talk about things that basically nobody in the world cares about. So I recognize when the two things that I'm going to bring up today, you will not be asked these things by anybody outside of church. The reason why I think they're important in my life and as a pastor and as this wonderful family, I get the privilege of sharing most Sundays. Why these things are important is because, again, when we talk about the way we look at our life and the way we look at the way the scriptures form our worldview, that these two words we're going to look at, kingdom and eternal life, the way we look at them through the lens of our experience and what we believe them to be, frame the scriptures. And they frame the way that we see the world around us and the way that we follow our Lord and the way we create and the way that we surround ourselves with what is our responsibilities and what are we called to do as a follower of Jesus. And so again, I recognize that these two questions that we're going to ask, what is kingdom? Nobody's going to ask you that. I know that. Like you're going to be having coffee at work tomorrow and somebody who doesn't follow the Lord says, so tell me, what do you think about the kingdom of God? Very rarely happens. But if it does, wonderful. Or what does eternal life mean? What does eternal life mean? But for us, I believe it's important. So thy kingdom come. Where does that come from if you have a understanding of the scriptures in a little bit, that you might recognize that that comes from the Jesus prayer or the model prayer. When the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, pray in this manner. He said, our Father that's in heaven, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. He said, when you pray, pray this way. And so that word, your kingdom come, your will be done where? On earth, as it is in heaven. So as we look at this word kingdom today, we're going to try and see what Jesus was meaning by this word kingdom, what John the Baptist meant when he said the kingdom is at hand. And what do we in our culture and in our context, what do we equate it as? And does it match what Jesus in the first century hearers would have heard when they heard this word kingdom and this kingdom coming? What does that mean? And then the other scripture that I'd like to look at is in Luke 17, 20 through 21, where in this one, he was asked by the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were a group of religious leaders. There was the Pharisees. There was the Sadducees. Different sects of Judaism, just like there are, as I say often, there are different groups of our brothers and sisters meeting throughout this city. And the reason why they're meeting in their group is because they have a standard and this is what we believe. And so we all kind of believe it and therefore we feel comfortable worshiping together. And so we don't have to butt heads over things we disagree with. But unlike hopefully in our assembly, that's not true, because I think in this assembly, hopefully God is creating an environment where you're able to disagree and you're still loved. And where you're disagreed with on maybe doctrinal issues and you're still respected and honored and that you're still welcome at the table, because God is bigger than one of us. God is bigger than our idea of him. If Scripture says God is exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or think, that would seem logical that we don't have it all, right? So the Pharisees were one of those groups. They believed in a resurrection, a bodily resurrection. The Sadducees did not. And then other groups, there was the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was a group of leaders in the city as well. There was the temple, the Levites. There was the temple police. That's one of my favorite words in this season, the temple police. We have the temple police in our age as well. The temple police. They make sure everybody's in line and walks the straight and narrow. But the Pharisees asked Jesus, he is Jesus, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, right? So the Pharisees, their perception of this kingdom is that it comes to them. It's not somewhere they're going. It comes to them. Do you remember in the Jesus prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it already is in the heaven realm. So when will the kingdom of God come? So this was very relevant in the minds of that culture in first century Judaism, right? Messiah, when he comes, he's bringing the kingdom. Why are they thinking along these lines? What has framed their perception, and what has framed their contexts and constructs and perceptions to think kingdom? Well, it's the scriptures. Because when Messiah would come, he was bringing a kingdom with him. He was a king, and a king has a kingdom. And so that's what's framing and constructing their ideas of this kingdom. And so Jesus answered them, and notice what he says. These are the words of Jesus. These are the words of our Lord. These are the words of the head of the church. He said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. You can't see it. That goes against some of my constructs. And then he says, nor will they say, see here, there it is over there. It's the kingdom of God is over in that region. Go be a part of it. The kingdom of God is in that city. Go over there. The kingdom of God has really come to that church. I want to be a part of that church because the kingdom of God is really big there. He says, for the kingdom of God is where? Another version says the kingdom of God is in your midst. It's all around you. But Jesus said it's around you. It's near you. It's at hand. So kingdom, that hopefully that frames some of the word for us. Kingdom. So what is the kingdom? What did they hear? Is Jesus building a kingdom presently today? When Trace prayed, she said, he's a God of today. He's the I am. The same yesterday, what? Today, yesterday, today, and forever. And so God is bringing his kingdom. In Isaiah, it says he is wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting father, prince of peace. In the increase of his government and peace, there will be. So his government and his peace is increasing, and it never will not increase. Jesus said, my kingdom's like a leaven, like leaven that is put in bread, a little bit of leaven. And that leaven does what? Fills the whole lump. Can you see the leaven? No, but you see the response of the bread to the leaven. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, the smallest of the seeds, but then it grows. Jesus is giving us an idea of what this kingdom is, but it's in us. It's something that comes to us. So if we are waiting for something to go to, Jesus would adjust us. If we're waiting for us to something to happen in the future, he would adjust us. If we think the kingdom is out there being built and not in us, he would adjust us. He would adjust our perspective. So the one question is, what is the kingdom? The other question I want to look at is what is eternal life? This matters. At least I think it does. I might be the only one in the room. That's okay. Again, these aren't questions that anyone's asking you, but these are questions that I think are important because it is so important. Because when you sit down and you open the Bible and you read that Jesus said, Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter or even see the kingdom of God. What I see about kingdom of God matters. When Jesus then continued and said, for God so loved the world, Nicodemus, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life, everlasting life. It matters, like what framework, what do I hear when I hear that word? So that's what we're looking at this morning in the beginning of the first episode of many episodes of the series, The Kingdom of God. So John 17:3. This scripture is what Jesus says eternal life is. So if I asked you, and like for instance, if we were just sitting down at a table, I said, tell me what kingdom is. What does Jesus mean by his kingdom come, his will be done? How would you respond to that? If I asked you, what is eternal life? Just tell me, what is eternal life? How would you respond to that? Okay? So we're looking at this word kingdom, and we're looking at this eternal life. This is what Jesus says eternal life is. When for the first many years and the many decades that I followed the Lord, I did not think this is what eternal life was. I thought eternal life, I equated that word with the word heaven. I equated that word with a place that Jesus was saying, if I believed him, I would be going here. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. I read it as go to hell, but shall have eternal life. I will go to heaven. That's what I heard Jesus saying was eternal life. But then as you read the scriptures and you start to see a much, much bigger picture than just that dualism. And that if the kingdom is only about a place that I'm going to eventually, if eternal life is about what I'm eventually going to be a part of, then what relevance does it have for me here today? What relevance does it have for the spheres of influence that I am a part of? And so what did Jesus mean by the word kingdom? The word kingdom is actually two words, king and dumb. Isn't that profound? King's domain or king's dominion, the king's dominion. When Jesus talked about the kingdom, he talked about talents of silver that the kingdom was like. He talked about a kingdom's like a woman who lost a coin. He talked about the kingdom's like a shepherd that lost a sheep. A kingdom's like a certain man had two sons. The kingdom of God, like the one I mentioned, the kingdom of God's like leaven. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's much broader than this idea of just there and here. Or something that I'll have in the future, or something now. The word kingdom is king's domain. So when you think of the word kingdom, think of the king's domain. Where the king rules. Where the king has authority. Where the king's authority is being executed and lived out. That's where the king has dominion. If the king says, I want to institute a 10% tax on everyone in the kingdom, where that is executed and lived out, the king has authority there. If the king decides to say, you know what, I want to make July 2nd a national holiday, July 2nd, 1964, when the world changed for everyone. If July 2nd is going to be a national holiday, no one has to work, that if that is executed and lived out everywhere, then the king has authority. And that's where the kingdom comes, the king's domain. So if we have a good and a benevolent king, we have his goodness and benevolence being expressed everywhere the king has authority and dominion. His kingdom comes to that realm. That's what kingdom means. If there is a bad or an evil or a malevolent king, he will have his character and nature expressed everywhere that that king has authority and dominion. His kingdom comes to that realm. And so this is what Jesus and the first century Jews understood when they heard the word kingdom. Kingdom. So that makes more sense when the Pharisees now ask that we read and they say, tell us, when will this kingdom come? How will this kingdom come? When will the influence of the Messiah's reign be effective and relevant in our time and space and in our culture and in our lives? Not when are we going to go to another place and live it out there. They saw it as something that was effectual to them in their time. So that is one of the things that the paradigm, I believe, we have to see the scripture through. When we see the word kingdom, it is not something that is out there. It's something that's here. So how is that relevant to us? It's not someplace we're going, but it's someplace. It is the king's domain that God wants to bring in my life, in the life of those around me. So how will that happen? We'll deal with this more as the series continues. But very clever when Jesus said, let me teach you how to pray. And the whole gist of them hearing that was, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It puts you right in the position to be the one to help bring the kingdom. Right? And that's far removed from some place I'm going, some place in the future, because I have very little responsibilities. I have very little accountability. I have very little to do. If this is all about some place that we're going. Salvation's primary focus is not with the afterlife. It's about eternal life in this life. That's what kingdom is. At least that's what the first century heard it as. And so Jesus said things like, when I was hungry, you did what? You fed me. If you give food to someone, I don't care who they are, you brought the kingdom because God is a provider. If you give someone a glass of water, if you help someone, if you do any act of kindness, if you love in any way, you are bringing the kingdom. Much different than someplace that's out there. And there were some people that said, when Jesus said, I was hungry and you didn't feed me, and I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink, and I was naked, you didn't clothe me, I was in jail, you didn't visit me, I was sick, you didn't pray for me. And they're like, when, we didn't know you were like that. When did we not do these things? And you know how that ends, right? When you did it to the least. So every act is sacred when you understand kingdom. Every individual you are in association with, the person in front of you is sacred. The moment you're in right now, because that's all you have, oh, it's gone. That now was just gone. Oh, and then that now is just gone. All we have is what? Now. So what we do now either brings the kingdom, king's domain, or not. And God has so bound his kingdom will coming to the earth to you, and that will never change. How would you say, God, why don't you explode through the skies and just do what you want? Because he has eternally bound himself to mankind to express his will on the earth. And so for his kingdom to come, we are the ones who have to bring it. Which also might change some of your paradigms about eschatology and what has to happen in the future with prophecy and end times, if your end times are out there, that God is just going to come in and violate everyone's will, and that God's going to come in and just manipulate the situation and say, this is how it's going to be done, and this is how I'm going to... No. There will be a time, God tells us, when the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the seas. Do you believe that's going to happen? I do. Do you believe that God is reconciling all things unto himself in heaven and earth? Do you believe that? I do. Do you believe that every knee will bow in heaven and earth and confess that, gee, I do. But how is that going to happen? It's not going to happen by God coming in and going, boom, boom, boom. And then he just whips everybody into this reality. No, it's going to happen through you, and it's going to happen through me. And guess what? Every time I choose my will over his will, I thwart that reality. I delay it. But what's happening? You and I, we're going from grace to grace. We're going from faith to faith. The Holy Spirit, the refiner's fire, he's burning out the dross in us. We're growing in love. And the increase of his government peace, there's what? No end. And that's in you and that's in me. And the kingdom is coming constantly. The leaven is working in you and in me. And the self-giving, self-sacrificial love of the Savior is becoming my reality. The mind of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit is being birthed in you in a greater measure. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. The kingdom is coming through you. His kingdom is coming through you, and it will not come any other way. So when there is this final epoch, when there is the final aeon, when there is the final telos, if you remember that word, the final culmination of all things, I don't know when that happens, I don't know, it could be billions of years, I have no idea. But when the telos is finally fulfilled in God, the scripture says, Jesus hands the kingdom over to the Father, and he is in all, through all things consist of him, and he fills all things. The reason that happened is because you are submitting to the will of God and becoming like Christ. Not separate. So the kingdom is not some place you're going. It's some place that is, it's a reality of God's life being built in you. And so every decision is sacred. Whatever your hand finds to do, it's sacred. How I talk to you is sacred. How I look at people, do I look at them and I think I'm better than them? Or I look at them in their socioeconomic standing and I think somehow I'm better than them, or they're better than me. Paul says, I don't look at anybody according to the flesh. He's growing. He sees himself as the chief sinner, the one who's been given the most mercy. So therefore, he constantly gives out mercy, knowing that the kingdom is coming to him. So kingdom, the king's domain. It's the benevolence and the goodness and the self-sacrificial, self-giving nature of God being birthed in us, and then it finding its way out in the world. For God is love, and those who love know God. Man, I think of Renee, neighbor to neighbor, and the ministry that's being built in Washington through a network of believers, and then now it's spreading to Waynesburg. Every little act, sacred, as the kingdom grows. Imagine this past Christmas where there were families who would not have had gifts to give to their kids, but then they did. And I don't care if they appreciated them or not. That is not the point. The point is that the kingdom came. It is more blessed to, why? Because our Father's a giver. You can't outgive God. All right, so kingdom. Oh, yes, someday I'm going to be a pastor. Someday I'm going to be I'm going to work in the church realm and I'm going to be working kingdom. No. What you are doing right now as it provides a service or a product that is benefiting humanity, you are working kingdom. I don't care what it is. If you're, whatever your hand finds, if it's good, right? Like selling, OxyContin, not a good business. It's kingdom. Do you know why you have excess of money? Because of forms of capitalism, because people like Sam Walton made it cheaper for you to buy something and you have more money in your pocket. That's kingdom. It's kingdom. What's it going to be like when somebody finally, if it's not already here, if you're a conspiracy type person, what's it going to happen when free energy hits us? I was thinking about this just yesterday. I was walking across the bedroom. And I went to hit the light switch and pop, as soon as I touched the light switch, electricity off my fingertip. Not the electricity that's running through the house. My electricity that I generated by going like this, right? Do you ever take a balloon and all this power, quantum, is there's enough power in an atom to explode a city, right? What happens when we finally have free power? And now instead of this phone, just connecting you to the world, that you can have a power to run a city in something this size. That will change our world. That's kingdom. Did you like the polio vaccine? Do you like Tylenol? Advil? Aleve? These are things I take every Monday before I play pickleball. Are you happy for these things? I don't know if you think about that, but that's kingdom. God giving us things that help us in life. So when you hear Jesus talk kingdom and you hear him talk about eternal life, we have a way of thinking about things that are out there that are going to happen. When Jesus, when he said them, and when Nicodemus heard him say kingdom, and when Nicodemus heard him say eternal life, he was not thinking going to a place called heaven. He was talking about life becoming more, like Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life to its fullest. A thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, take things away, to take order and bring it into disorder. But I have come to take disorder and make it into order, and that through you, I am going to give people life to the fullest. All I need is Jesus. No. You don't. You need Jesus that is working through humanity to bring his kingdom to earth, and that's equally true of you. You have a contribution. So that's kingdom. Eternal life. Tell us, Jesus, what is eternal life? I want to have eternal life. I want to go to heaven. I want to say a prayer and I want to go. I want my eternity secure. I don't want to burn in that place. I want my ticket stamped. And Jesus says, this is what eternal life is, that people may know you. This is the prayer he's praying in John 17 in the garden to Father. Eternal life is knowing him. It's not about going to a place. Eternal life is about knowing him, Jesus, the one that you sent. If you know him, you have eternal life. Jesus said it other ways. Maybe this will help encapsulate the framework. He said, if you hear my words and do my words, it's like building on sand or building on a rock. And you can build your life however you want to build it. It's your choice. It's your will. I'm not going to manipulate you. If you make decisions that are wise according to my will and the way I made the world to work, it's like you're building your life on a rock. And a lot of the storms of life, when they come, may not hit you as hard as they would if you choose unwisely. You have more of Zoe life, God life, when you think in terms of how God thinks in the way you treat life, than the fabric of life. So Jesus said, however you treat people, they're going to treat you. Have you found that to be true? It's not 100%, but it's a good principle, right? That's building on the rock. And so if you sow seeds of kindness and you sow seeds of love and you sow seeds of forgiveness and you sow seeds of sacrifice, people are drawn to that and they just naturally give it back to you. And so kingdom and eternal life is about the world changing through you. Your eternity is already secure. Here, this is what we'll close with. Following Jesus is about transformation, not about a destination. That's how they heard it in that day. They heard about transformation in the life they're living, not about a destination. So salvation's primary focus is not with the afterlife, but with eternal life. Those are different things. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Let's bow our hearts together. Father, as we pray, our hearts just continue to go toward Jay and the family. Thank you for sparing his life. Thank you for giving grace and mercy. Thank you for we know you are there regardless of the outcome. You are there. You are ever present. You are in them. You are very active in this situation. And we're like the friend at midnight who didn't have any bread, and we know it's our responsibility to feed. And so what do? We run to our friend's house and say, please give me bread for someone. I don't have anything to put before the Lord. We don't have anything that we can do medically or physically in that way for Jay, but Lord, we know you can. And so thank you for being his friend at midnight. Thank you for being his friend and Tammy's and the family and all of us as a community. Thank you for being there and bringing your life and your blessing to him. And taking a very horrible, devastating situation and bringing your love to it. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because you are with us. And now, Father, for this issue of kingdom and eternal life, thank you for constantly enlightening us and giving us our apocalypses, our unveilings. You who started this good work in us is going to complete it. We're not our own Savior, Lord. You're the Savior. You're the Good Shepherd. You're the one leading. You are the one bringing us through the process. And we know you'll finish it because you're faithful. Thank you for giving us the ability to see and participate with you more easily. We speak your blessing over one another in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.